All right, welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. And this is the thing. I spend a lot of time picking out the bumper music because I know you guys are cool and you guys are going to get it. And I spend so much time on it. So just thank you for all of those responses. And Dewsky in Twitter figured it out. Sharon Van Etten. And I got to tell you, Tarifa, and she's just amazing. I'm a huge Sharon Van Etten fan. She is so cool. And the fact that you guys figured that out, that just shows you how cool the Coast audience is. This is Coast to Coast. It's Friday night. Our guest, David Wilcock. It's open lines, and he's taking your calls along with me next. All right. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, David Wilcock. It's Friday night, which means open lines. And David had said to me earlier today, he's like, "Church, man, let's do calls." I said, "Okay, let's go. You ready?" All right, David, let's do it. First up, and it's funny that you mentioned this earlier, David, because we're going to talk to Rick on Wild Card from Phoenix, Arizona. And I've seen the notes here, punctuated equilibrium, which means Lloyd Pye is in the house. Okay, Rick, you're up first on Coast. Welcome.
Stephen Jay Gould.
Sure, thank you. I hung on for you, boys, and I'm dying to hear your answers. There's a Gould, an anthropologist named Gould, who with a colleague came up with that punctuated equilibrium, which basically says evolution doesn't necessarily follow incremental, small, transitional forms to the new level. It often or can occur with a sudden extreme mutation, which by pure luck has a chance to survive in some a very acceptable environment. And then we can't find the missing links to that because it was so sudden and by some very fortuitous circumstances, you know, the periods of thousands, millions of years, it was able to survive, occur, and survive. Another theory which kind of coexists with that is periodic extreme storms of cosmic rays that create huge numbers of mutations, often enough to kill a species off. In other words, there are so many mutations that they can't mate with each other. And this could cause sudden extreme mutations that wouldn't seem to have any incremental transitional forms behind it. And then there's a third one that's called a founding colony. And I think Gould, G-O-U-L-D, also tried to come up with this to defend sort of evolution in a way. And the founding colony is, say, on the bottom of what is now the Mediterranean. There's a small area where there is a species that's gradually evolving in incremental steps. But then where that happened gets covered over after the ice age ends and the water flows and fills up the Mediterranean. And so we do not find those incremental steps until, you know, some submarine or something hits it and we'll say, oh, that's where that creature came from. So there's that founding colony isolated group that went the classic pattern, but we just haven't found it yet. We know the results. I mean, the creature did show up in other parts of the Earth. There's the punctuated equilibrium where something suddenly, you know, a tremendous change through a mutation. And then there's the cosmic rays. I think it's every 20 million years we go through a part of the solar, the galaxy where the sun goes through a phase and we get hit by a huge number of alpha particles, which just tear our DNA apart.
Okay, Rick, great statement, but did you have a question?
What would that explain some of these very strange creatures that seem to appear out of nowhere and cannot be explained by slow transitional mutations, which we should be able to see in the fossil record?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, David?
Yeah, he's all three of those choices are correct, and they all work in synchrony.
And there's a fourth, though.
Well, the ETs just came here.
Right. there's a fourth.
They just wanted the beer.
Right.
No, honestly, this is a model that I don't believe anyone else has built as far as what I've done, where I've taken multitudes of credible scientific information and come up with a robust model of how DNA can be exposed to essentially photons that pass through other types of DNA, and the light will change the way that the DNA is structured. So it will rearrange it from one type of species to another.
How quickly? Do you have to wait a million years, or do you wait a couple of weeks?
No, this Russian scientist, Dr. Peter Garyayev, zapped eggs that were laid by a frog with a laser beam that shined through salamander eggs.
Right.
And those frog eggs mutated into salamanders.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Right.
So that can happen within one generation. And so I do believe that we see longer-term cycles where changes start to occur as we get close to these node points.
Right.
But then at the node points, there does appear to be the solar flash, which is the whole cosmic ray emission thing he was talking about. And so it's not just that electromagnetic rays are doing this. There's also energetic aspects and photonic aspects that cause DNA to evolve as well.
Yeah, and I am very confused about one thing, when it comes to Darwin, that the fossil record really doesn't show anything modulating from one species to the next.
There's a lot of problems with the Darwinian model,
yeah,
including the fact that you have shellfish with the shell on the outside, and you have bony fish with the skeleton on the inside, and there's no transitional fossils that go between outside and inside.
Yeah, there's no transitional fossils for anything.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, let's go first-time caller line. I'll always do that next. Maleko in Arizona, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hey, David. Oh, my God. I feel like I'm having my synchronicity. I've been trying to get a hold of you for a year. you are my favorite guy
in the whole world.
Jimmy, you're right up there. You're one of the most beautiful people on the planet. So let me try to skip ahead because I don't want to take up any time. I found something told me to go on Google Earth and start searching off of Hawaii, and I went off the coast of first Oahu, then Kauai, then Niihau, and then I found some pyramids underneath the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Off the coast of Niihau, and I couldn't believe it. And when I compared them to the pyramids in Giza, it's the same thing, the square with the cross in it, you know, the same kind of thing. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't believe it. I just found pyramids underneath the ocean in Hawaii. And then I started finding faces, and I started thinking, am I just seeing Santa Claus in a cloud here, you know, like
right,
wanting to see faces? But then I remember something you said, David. You said the way to tell if it's genuine is if it aligns with the cardinal directions of northeast, southwest, and Google Earth actually has a compass. And when I looked at the faces, they were aligned northeast, southwest, the pyramids, the faces, everything. And I went, oh, my God, I don't believe this. I got to get a hold of David. And I've been trying to get a hold of you for a year.
Well, Maleko, send me some screenshots. Just go to my radio page for Fade to Black, or you can also contact me straight through Coast to Coast. Click on my name. It's right there. It'll take you straight over. And then I'll take a look at it and then send it over to David and see what he has to say. Yeah, absolutely.
And David, I just bought your book finally. I've been wanting to buy your books forever. I finally got the Synchronicity Key, and I also bought Dream Yoga and the Practice of Natural Light, both of which I love.
Yeah.
So
they're both excellent.
You are just amazing. I've been watching Gaia for a year now, and you are the best. You really are the best. And I tell everybody, you got to watch Wisdom Teachings. You got to watch Dave Wilcock. He is the best.
Maleko. Thank you for the phone call.
So how do I send this to you again?
Just click on my name over at Coast to Coast. Just click on my name. It's that simple.
Click on your name on Coast to Coast.
Yep.
And I can forward the pictures to you.
Absolutely.
And because I did on my Android phone, I don't know the exact coordinates, but as soon as you go off the coast in Niihau, the first thing you'll see is the pyramids. The faces I have to search around a little bit more for to try to find them again.
Well, do you know how many people, Maleko, are now doing this right now because you just suggested this?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, I can't believe it. I'm like, oh, my God, nobody's found this before? I mean, clearly somebody has. I mean, the government has, you know.
Right.
They're not saying anything. It's like you said before, the government doesn't want to say anything. It's like Terrence McKenna once said, they call it schizophrenia and slam the door.
And that's always what happens. Thank you so much for the phone call, Maleko. Really appreciate that, by the way. Let's go east of the Rockies to Tom in Peoria, Illinois. Tom, you're up next.
Thank you. Hello?
Yeah, you're live now.
I'm okay. I have two questions. I'm not about the mummy deal. First, who has possession of it? And has there ever been any DNA test done on any of these creatures that you're all talking about?
Well, David, I guess I'll go ahead and take this.
Go ahead, buddy.
The mummy is in the possession of the Peruvian. Well, it's not. It's in Cusco, Peru, right now. It's in private hands. That's where it is now. DNA test. Yes, DNA testing is ongoing. When you have DNA testing of that old of material, you have to reconstruct the DNA. It's not like it's fresh DNA off of your skin this morning. Okay, so it's very old organic material. It's at five different DNA testing labs around the world. And they will take an aggregate, they'll take an average, and they'll look at this DNA the test results, and then come up with something that makes sense, and then present it. So I have been told, Tom, that we're about 2 to 3 weeks away from the first set of results.
Okay, for this mummy?
Yes, for the mummy.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Well, you don't know who has it in possession.
No, it's in private hands. I don't want to say the individual's name. The name is out there, but you know, this is a big radio show. You know, let's
sure.
So, but you can find out that the name is in the public domain.
Okay.
All right, Tom. You have a great night. Thank you for the phone call. We have enough time to get maybe one more in. Let's go to Wild Card Norm in St. Louis, Missouri. Norm, you're up next.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell your guest one comment and then a quick question. First off, I'm a pretty open-minded person, so I'm not a skeptic at all of basically anything in life. So the idea of aliens wouldn't surprise me or whatever. And if I'm a Christian, I read my Bible a lot. There's actually a story in Ezekiel, the first chapter, that, in my opinion, speaks real specifically of what I would call a UFO, but you can open up a Bible and find that. But my question was that last winter, and this, I'm not sure if your guest is familiar with this type of thing. I looked on YouTube and different angles, but I had, we had maybe 6 inches of snow here in St. Louis, and I had a snow pattern, and it started at a garage about 30 foot from the house, came to my back door, went towards my garden. I got about a 4 foot wire fence around the garden, and the garden's maybe 20 foot by 20 foot. And this pattern was rectangular. It didn't have claws or hoofs. So it wasn't a rabbit. It wasn't a deer. And they were side by side, but counter. In other words, like one was here and then another one was 8 inches further. Well, the rectangles were, I want to say a foot, foot and a half long, maybe 4 to 6 inches wide. But as they came to the house, it was almost like they looked in the window, back door, went towards the garden, it hopped over this fence, but it started like 4 foot from the fence, went into the garden, it was like three sets of prints there. Then you didn't see prints. I'm talking like a fresh snow from that night. Went over the garden towards the neighbor's house east of me, and it was like 4 or 5 more steps, and then there was nothing. And I'm thinking what I'm getting to is,
well, hey, Norm, let me jump in. I want to have David the chance to respond. So what's the question?
Just if he would think that, you know, if there's other people that have accounts of things, footprints and whatnot, that they're not sure what they are, but they're not animal. And if he thinks that maybe, say, aliens, that they might be more attracted or prone to communicate with someone that could deal with them as opposed to, say, a scientist or so. Like, in other words, if that knocked on the door and it was this gray thing that they're showing in Peru, I would be more like the type of guy that would say, hey, come on in, you want a cup of Folgers?
Right.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a great question, Norm, and thank you for that. David's square rectangular footprints. That's interesting.
Well, this is consistent with a variety of other testimonies of people that have seen things, and people are prone to think that somebody like Norm is crazy. I mean, that's typically how they would respond to a statement like that.
That's right.
So many people who have nothing to gain and everything to lose, including, you know, public credibility. They all see these things. They make statements, and we have this sort of mass psychosis that we take. You know, we will convict someone and give them the death penalty based on eyewitness testimony, but we have millions of eyewitness testimonies like this, and then we say, oh, well, it's a hoax, or oh, he's making it up, or oh, it's got to be some kind of, you know, children that were playing around with boxes on their feet.
And what about the second part of his question, which is, does E.T. need to be connecting with somebody that does have an open mind? Because if you're a skeptic, you're a cynic, you don't even believe in E.T., you're going to shut the door on him.
Well, it appears from what a variety of insiders and other evidence has shown me that the people who get E.T. contact the most are people who have some kind of soul connection to them. And so those people will by nature be more open-minded about this because on some subconscious level they're remembering some greater life that they have outside of one physical incarnation in the afterlife. And they will be contacted, and then they will have screen memories of that contact that cover up the full essence of what was there. So a lot of times people don't really remember exactly what they saw. The memories are kind of indistinct. They're very spotty, or they think that they saw an owl, and then it turns out that it was a gray. You know, this kind of stuff happens all the time.
Right. And now, David, we're going to be headed towards a break here, so I wanted to get an actual question in for me. The ability to focus and be positive, whether individually or with a group, tends to suck in contact from the stars.
Absolutely.
It's not a coincidence, is it? And is that part of what Norm was talking about here, that you have to be positive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to be a Christian to do this, but what I am saying is that we are actually dealing with a spiritual war. And if ancient prophecies like those in the Bible are now being validated by what we're seeing, that there, my gosh, there really is a Luciferian cabal that had dominion over the earth, then quid pro quo, the other side of the Bible is probably also true. And, you know, instead of just going to a dogmatic Bible-thumping approach, let's look at this pragmatically and say, these are historical accounts. They weren't originally intended to create religions. You got four guys that wrote the New Testament, the books that matter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they were just reporting what they saw. They weren't intending that their words were going to be seen as the literal word of God. They wrote it.
Right. That's exactly the point, especially for me. We're going to take a break right here, David. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie on a Friday night, and it's Open Lines next. Stay with us. On this Friday night, our guest is David Wilcock. He's here taking your phone calls. But check this story out. Designed to emulate a human woman, an eerie robot answered questions on a TV show over in the UK this week. The robot, his name's Sophia, could redefine how humanity interacts with machines. She's the latest in a long time of realistic talking robots developed by Texas-based Hanson Robotics. It's creepy, but you can check it out right now over at Coast to Coast. The full story is there in the news section. Our guest tonight, David Wilcock. It's Friday night. It's Open Lines. I'm sitting in for George Norrie. I'm your host, Timmy Church. And more of your phone calls with David are next. Stay with us. All right. Welcome back to Coast, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. I'm your host, Timmy Church. George, you know, is taking another well-deserved night off. The one thing about George that I can tell you, he works nearly every day of the week. He does not stop. And I've said it many times, but I'll say it again. I asked him for advice one day, maybe 3-4 years ago, and he looked at me and he goes, Church, kid, never take a day off. And there you go. David, never take a day off.
Oh, easy for you to say.
Yeah, right.
I used to be like that. I used to work 14 hours a day, and I did it for many, many years. And I have definitely been kind of saving up my energy for the big one, because once we start to get disclosure, it is game on, and I'm going to need to be very on.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I feel that we are here now. I think the next couple of years are going to be It's rock and roll. I posted on Facebook today. I said, get ready for the ride. It's here, and it's about to get a lot of fun.
I'm already getting, like, and I'm literally not kidding, it's going to sound extreme, but I'm getting at least 500 people a day just begging to be in contact with me.
Yeah, it's the way it is.
So I don't think people realize exactly how much attention this is attracting. But.
Yeah, and if you look over on my social media stuff, and you check out... You know, the shares, the responses, the likes, the clicks, and so forth. It's way high.
Yep.
I mean, it's way up there. And how that propagates out and translates into real numbers says to me that people are interested, and they are interested that are outside of our circles.
Yeah, I got to make sure when I leave the house that I've had a shower and I look good, because otherwise... There's going to be disparaging pictures, you know, because everybody wants to take my picture. So,
well, that would be a long shower. Okay, let's go.
You can't walk that off.
Let's go. Let's go to Wild Card Greg in Jacksonville, Florida. You're up next. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning,
Super
Greg.
Dave. Oh, Super Dave. If this is real and the cabal does not want this out, that, those bodies will disappear either in a mudslide or a fire or a military coup or something like that. And the five DNA samples, three will come up trash, one will come up as a human with abnormalities, and one will come up inconclusive with something strange in it.
Greg,
what kind of security measures do you have in place to keep your assets protected? And always remember, look behind you and stay well armed. And I'll take your answers off the air.
All great points, right, Dave? We kind of that's kind of like par for the course, right?
My own company I work for, and I'm one of their most valuable assets, obviously. This did not get shared with me. They wouldn't even show me a picture. They wouldn't even tell me what they had. I kind of figured out it had to be some kind of mummy of some kind, but I didn't know anything.
Right.
And so they were smart, because you do not say a word to anyone until you've already done your due diligence, so that if that happens, there's enough documentation and video and eyewitness testimony and everything else that it can't be stuffed, and I believe that's what they've done.
Let's go to Wild Card. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Let's go out west. Thomas, welcome to Coast.
Jimmy, thank you for taking my call, and great bumper music. Also, David, looking forward to your new book. I wanted to ask you, David, how can the average citizen, the average man, the average woman, arrange for mature, face-to-face contact with reliable, trustworthy extraterrestrials on the equivalent, you know, extraterrestrials who are the equivalent of a Mother Teresa or the Dalai Lama or Nelson Mandela? How can the average citizen, not through the cabal, not through intermediaries of the shadow government, not through dreams, arrange for face-to-face, mature, direct contact with trustworthy, reliable extraterrestrials, ultra-dimensionals, if you will?
Thank you for the phone call, Thomas. David, well, you know that question as well as anybody. We get presented with that every single day.
And it is ironic that he mentioned my new book, which isn't actually coming out now till August 2018, but it is going to come out, and that is where I talk about my own contact experience. And the way the ETs look at things is similar to how we would look at things. You don't want to become friends with someone whose personality you don't like. Falling in love or becoming somebody's friend is about deciding that there are qualities in that person that you resonate with and that you want to reach out to them and you want to have them be a part of your life. Well, these benevolent ETs are operating in a level in which they see most of us as heavily disabled in terms of our level of forgiveness, our level of compassion, our level of understanding, our level of non-judgmental behavior, humility, these kinds of qualities. And so if you think about that, they're not going to want to contact someone telepathically or especially in person unless that person has those qualities. Now, with that in mind, the intel that Corey got from two different sources very recently is that it will begin telepathically and it will then lead up to in-person contact. And so I think that's really amazing, because I've been saying all along, Corey is a harbinger. It's not just about him. It's that it happened to him first. And now that message is coming through. So I think things are going to get really, really interesting. And I can't wait to see some event where I get to have something like what's been happening to Corey myself. And I honestly don't know if I would want to talk about it right away, because until it starts happening to a bunch of other people, it's just going to look like I'm trying to ride the bandwagon, and I don't know if people would even believe me. But I am very open-minded about it. And I think the more, again, the more that you resonate with the great spiritual teachings of all ages and try to follow those principles in life, the more likely you are to experience contact.
Yeah, I want to comment on that so bad. You know what? I'm going to do it off the air tomorrow. But it's this, because it's Friday night. I want to take calls from the callers. But I had a researcher the other day say to me, you know, Jimmy, I've had contact, and continued on to tell me about some of this contact, and it was an extraordinary thing. This is a researcher that you know. And then turn around a couple of sentences later and said, but how do we, you know, Jimmy, how do we trust the word of so-and-so and so-and-so and so? I said, wait a minute. You just told me about your experiences, and you want me to accept that as being true, but now you want to question somebody else? That doesn't make any sense. And that's the way that we have to look at all of this. We have to listen to everybody. If you want me or other people to listen to you and your experiences, then you have to be willing to listen to others and share their experiences. And if we can't do that here in this community, we can't do it anywhere, can we, David?
Absolutely. And please also remember, I am not a savior. I am not a guru. I'm just a researcher who's out there trying to share what I believe will enhance people's lives if they're open-minded to it.
And it has to be that way. That's exactly how it has to be. Let's go. Let's see here. I like this guy's name. I'm going to go to Wild Card. I'm going to go to Jimmy in Ocean City, Maryland. Jimmy, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm glad I finally got through. Basically, everything you guys are saying, I mean, it's completely amazing. You guys are absolutely on point. I've actually been in contact with several different extra-dimensionals for about 3 months now that I'm aware of. The first time that it happened, I was in a meditative state, and I basically, next thing I know, I'm being poured back into my body. I can feel my body getting, like, weight back to it. It's like, whoop. And then a few minutes later, I remembered, and I was taken onto this ship with blue lights around it with three blue beings, and they showed me a triple helix DNA structure, a hologram of it, and they showed me a triangle-shaped star system. It was like an isosceles triangle. So anyway, I let it go. You know, I didn't think much of it. I was like, wow, that was crazy. You know, I definitely had an out-of-body experience. So a while later, I started researching it, triple helix DNA, and then they come to me and tell me that every human being has a dormant strand of DNA that's hidden and needs to be activated when they awaken, and that's when the triple helix is activated. Another thing is the star system they were showing me is the Sirius star system, which is the same extraterrestrials that were in contact with the Egyptians. They also helped them build the pyramids. Okay, now the second thing that happened was they actually put an implant in my belly button, which I can send you a picture of.
No, that's okay. I don't need to see that.
Okay. Well, what happened was, this time it was in a dream. Like you said, they contact you in dreams. So I was running down these stairs in a parking garage.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm dreaming. Excuse my language. And then I'm like, all right, make a T-Rex appear. And I'm like, T-Rex, T-Rex, T-Rex. Next thing I know, I'm being shot through this tunnel of light, and I'm going so fast, and I feel these pulse waves, like, going up my body all the way down to my bones. I've never felt any sensation in a dream, but here it's just like, vroom. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I mean?
Okay. Hey, Jimmy, before we run out of time here, do you have a question for David?
Well, my question is, are they, all right. Anyway, so after the next day I woke up, and I noticed there was a scab in my belly button. The scab comes off, and now there's a puncture wound, and there's something inserted in my belly button. I'm wondering if I have actually been meeting them, or are they coming here and taking people? But although I'm willing to go, but I'm saying, am I one of these people you're talking about that are bringing on the alien reveal?
Well, this kind of phenomenon is happening to a lot of people. And the interesting thing is that there's such a social ostracism around these subjects that it's guys like Jimmy and guys like me where we're literally seeing, Jimmy, I'm sure you can vouch for me on this, like 50 emails a day of people with accounts like this.
Absolutely. So
it is a mass effect. And it's kind of amazing that it still isn't really being taken seriously by the so-called mainstream, whatever that is, which is very rapidly changing. But people are having experiences in which, however they got it, whether it's dreams or whether it's psychedelic drugs in some cases, which are very hazardous, I don't recommend them, but some people do that. They have some very interesting things happen to them, you know, and sometimes it's just a visionary state. No drugs are required.
Right.
It's all different ways that people are getting this, but there's commonalities, which is that they're led to study things, and then they find out that some part of their vision is actually part of the UFO research that they didn't even know about.
Right, right, right.
That's common. So this is happening on a planetary level for those who are ready for it, for those who are actually awakening. And so the key is that if you are somebody who is conscious and somebody who is paying attention and realizing that reality is essentially a belief system, and the belief system that most of us had chosen in the past is woefully insufficient to explain all the anomalies, we have to make our belief system a lot more roomy. And these experiences cultivate our imagination and lead to us being ready for contact. Because honestly, if your imagination can't handle the truth, if you don't have room for the truth in your imagination, you're not going to get it.
Let's go to Wild Card. Let's go to Blair in Sedona, Arizona. Blair, are you up next on Coast?
Thank you very much, Jimmy and David. I have a story and a quick question. My story is I held Lloyd Pye's skull in my hands back in 1999. Jimmy and Mr. Wilcox.
You get the original, the stereographic reconstruction, but the actual original one?
The actual original one. It was in a blue container along with the female human skull, and it had a consistency. It looked like, David, an ice cream wafer cone in its consistency. And Lloyd had
it. It's as a Whipple ball, right? I felt the stereographic reconstruction of it. It is amazing because it's so light.
Now, Blair, before we run out of time, and we've literally got 2 minutes, what's your question for David?
Astral ETs, in my studies, are in the astral realm only, and they only affect our physical realm when obliging humans incorporate into their own psyche their violent, aggressive ways, like the reptilians. I'd like you to comment on that, please.
Well, again, we got to look at which group we're talking about. The negative ETs are allowed to exist by what is ultimately a benevolent cosmic oneness intelligence because they disrupt wherever karma allows them to. So they become the engines of karma to create movement and consciousness. So there's a great spiritual teaching in the Law of One material, which is my spiritual base. There's a lot of scientific data I've been able to validate in that, which says that until we are in a state of joyful communion with the universe and knowledge of our oneness, we're only going to experience events that will knock us back in that direction. And so the negative side gives us what is called catalyst, these experiences that can be very jarring and very upsetting, because it inspires us to crack that shell we build around our hearts and move back towards the light and towards the love of this one infinite being that we're all a part of. So the positive beings are trying to steer us in that direction through visitations, through mental telepathy, through dreams. And I believe that we're seeing a lot more of that happening as we're witnessing, as the callers call in. You know, we didn't try to screen this, Jimmy. You got a big list of people. You're just picking them at random.
That's right.
It's amazing.
That's right. And I have always seen, David, the... over the last couple of years, this vast shift in positivity. And I really mean that. The darkness was right up in front of us, man, and we could almost push back on it, right? It was right there. But we've seen this shift. You and I were at Contact in the Desert. The positivity that was overflowing, right? Everywhere that you went, you just felt the positive vibes. There was nothing negative there. There was 5,000 people there that were having a great time. And I think that's a representative of what's going on around the world.
We are moving in a direction that is irreversible. We're moving in a direction where there will not be a money system. We're already seeing that now. It's very difficult for anybody in any type of creative work, music, theater, dance, you name it. It's becoming almost impossible to make money from anything. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad. I'm saying that is part of this irreversible trend towards a society where we have graduated from that. And once we get free energy, which it's already out there, it's just being suppressed, but those magic boxes do exist. It's and anti-gravity and portal travel and all this stuff, it's all stuff that's doable. It's all stuff that we can achieve. And what we're going to have is going to change so dramatically that we're literally going to look at the times that we're in right now as the Dark Ages. And it will be hard to believe that we were so naive and that we ignored so much evidence in light of where our civilization is about to go in a very short time.
David, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show tonight through these busy times and to hang out and with the Coast audience and take phone calls and stuff. That is just so cool for you and just to do that for us. Thank you so much, my friend, and be safe out there. Well,
thank you, everybody, for not busting my chops. This actually was not the Shark Tank tonight.
It never is. Thank you so much, David. Be safe out there, my friend. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Friday night, open lines are next. Stay with us.